He is, of course, the fine writer from the TNT. Mike Sando joining us. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Hey, pretty good, Vinny. How you doing?
Real well. How could you be bad on a day like this, huh?
It was beautiful. It's going to be even better tomorrow because I think I might try to sneak in a round of golf.
Oh, man. Will this be like your final round of golf for the before things get cranked up at minicamp?
I hope not. Yeah, I won't be able to go out during minicamps, but after that, hopefully there will be a little lag before training camp.
Yeah. Do a lot of players get out and play this time? I know they had this whole big golf lesson a couple of weeks ago for players, but are the guys on the Seahawks generally, because you got the Jacob Green tournament coming up at some point, do these guys really play well, or they kind of like, is it more of a joke to them?
I don't think most of them are, refined players. With the guys you find, sometimes it's, like in baseball, it's often the pitchers. They have the time to get out and play, and then quarterbacks in the NFL, I know, when Trent Dilfer was here, I mean, he was just an outstanding golfer. I don't think Matt Hasselbeck is anywhere near that caliber on the golf course, but I think he's improving. So, some of the guys have fun with it, but most of them anymore, with the off-season programs and stuff, they're pretty committed to football, too.
Yeah. Now, that's one thing that has been working real well for the Seahawks this year. Is this the highest percentage of guys that have, now that Darryl Jackson's gone from the team, I guess the percentage would have had to go up anyway, but is this the highest percentage of guys that have been participating in this offseason training regimen?
Yeah, until next year and the year after that, I'm kidding. That's one of those stories that every offseason every team seems to say, we've had the highest percentage of turnout. I couldn't be happier. And then, I'm not sure what it means down the road. But the Seahawks do have good participation. I mean, a couple of the guys who didn't participate always in the past, one of them, Darryl Jackson, another of them, Sean Alexander. Darryl's not here anymore. Sean is working out in the program. So they do have a few more guys. They're pleased with it. But I do think that is one of those things you hear about a lot in the offseason with various teams. And then it's kind of largely forgotten by the time the season rolls around.
As we go into this camp next week and this final camp before the actual training camp gets underway at the end of July, beginning of August, what's the biggest thing that Mike Holmgren and his staff are looking for or concerned about out of this team?
Well, they just want to see the offensive line come together. I mean, I think the Chris Spencer's shoulder situation is a concern. We'll see what he can do as training camp gets going. If he is okay, I think they're pretty comfortable with everyone around them. I think they can get some combinations. If Chris Spencer has problems coming back, remember he had two shoulder surgeries. They were afraid he might have another one coming up. They were able to avoid that, but still there's no guarantees he's going to be okay.
Right.
If he is not able to go, it throws things off a lot because then really Chris Gray is the only other guy on the team that you're really comfortable putting in there in a game at center. And if he's at center, he's not an option at the guard spot. And, that's okay with them, but boy, if you lose Chris Spencer, you're really down to not being able to take many more injuries. Now, if he's back and they think he will be, I think they feel okay. They would just like those guys to be able to play together a little bit and line up together a lot because, as we saw when Seattle went to the Super Bowl, you really need, the continuity of a group that's played together for a while, and Seattle's lost that with Steve Hutchinson gone, with Robbie Tobeck retired. Some of those things have really, taken a little bit of a toll.
Last year, Mike Holmgren virtually handed a job over to Floyd Womack in camp, and obviously Porkchop injured. How is his health, and is he ready to contribute on the offensive line somewhere?
Well, he is, he is healthy this offseason, but you have to assume until he proves he can stay healthy that he'll suffer some injuries again. I think that he is an option, certainly at right guard. Can they just, hand him a job? No. I think that, they want to take a look at Ray Willis, who has been a tackle mostly, but even got some work at guard at the last camp and is a guy who's kind of getting a little deeper into that rookie contract. He's a guy they've wanted to get onto the field. They haven't got him on the field because they've had a good offensive line for the most part. But now I think they would like to give him a look. Chris Gray is obviously an option at right guard if he's not needed at center. So it's hard to say exactly what the lineup will be. I suspect in the end we'll see Sean Locklear at right tackle, Chris Spencer at center, Rob Sims at left guard, Walter Jones at left tackle. And then there's a little bit more you know, intrigue at the right guard position. Are they going to, you know, split time between Womack and Gray? Could Ray Willis, you know, factor in there if he doesn't win the right tackle spot? That's kind of what they want to figure out.
Tom Ashworth also, we're talking to Mike Sando here on News Radio 710 Cairo. Ashworth was a guy that last year maybe got off to a bit of a slow start, but by the time the season progressed, he really became a valuable piece of the whole offensive scheme, didn't he?
Yeah, they really needed him. I mean, he ended up being more comfortable at the right tackle position. I think he got off to a little bit of a tough start because, you know, they wanted to try him at guard. And he had been a natural tackle for his career, and the guard thing just didn't work very well for him. And so he didn't really get a lot of reps at tackle. And so then when the season comes along, they threw him in at left tackle for a play because Walter Jones got banged up briefly. And,
yeah,
you know, that's a tough situation to go into. And finally down the stretch, they did need him a little bit at right tackle. And, you know, he wasn't an all pro, but they didn't expect that. And they, you know, they like the fact that he's got some toughness and some savvy and is a veteran over there. So they were comfortable, you know, with him when he went in there at right tackle, but I don't think they necessarily want to, you know, go into the season with him as a starter for the whole thing.
Mike Sando of the TNT is with us. You can check out his blog and his computer musings it's not Tribnet. Now it's
you can just go straight to blogs.thenewstribune.com/Seahawks, and you'll find all you need to find.
There you go, right? And believe you me, when you go into that the blog, I think you know you find out more about this guy knows more about the Seahawks than Mike Holmgren does. That's a fair statement, isn't it, Mike? More people talk to you about them than talk to Mike. Because when everybody sees Mike Holmgren, you know, how you coach, how you doing? No, everything's wonderful. When they see you, they tell you the truth.
Yeah, that could be true. I know he's making more money than me.
Well, yeah, he's making more money than any 10 of us putting a room together. Come on. Hey, tight end worries me on this team. Is it worrying anybody else right now?
Well, you know, I think the Seahawks realize it's not, you know, an ideal situation, but they've wanted to let everyone know that they feel very good about Marcus Pollard, even though he's 35 years old coming in and starting. I think the burden of proof's on the Seahawks with that one, because it's rare for a player of that age to come in and really carry a position. Holmgren thinks that Marcus Pollard can have 50 catches this season. If he does, he'll have more catches than any tight end in Seahawks history for a single season.
And they'll go to the Super Bowl if that happens, won't they? Because, yeah, I mean, that's basically how Mike Holmgren gets to the Super Bowl, is using his tight end.
That would be sensational for them if that were to happen. I mean, I think, you know, behind him you've got Will Hiller, who is, you know, definitely a role player, and then they've got a couple developmental guys who are just that. I mean, I'm not sure you would want to put them on the field in a starting situation. And, you know, one of the things, frankly, at that position, more than the catches that they've missed, is the blocking, because, you know, Jeremy Stephens was obviously a receiving tight end. They missed some of what Ryan Hanum gave them during that Super Bowl season, and it really hurt some of their running game. There were other issues, obviously, but that was one that people probably, you know, wouldn't notice unless you were really looking for it, and the coaching staff certainly noticed it.
Is Hanum done?
You know, he's trying to get his knee right. He has a degenerative knee situation that, you know, when he went to Dallas and Parcells was there and basically wanted to, you know, told you had to practice every day if you wanted to play. Well, that's not the way Ryan Hanum can be successful because of his knee. He really needs to be protected, and then if he is, he has a chance to help you in the games. But he's unsigned right now, and he's going to have to prove to people that knee is okay, I think, before teams will take a chance on him. But he was an excellent blocker and really, you know, part of what helped Sean Alexander get the MVP that year, you know, in a part that no one really talked about.
Would he be a guy that the Hawks would look at if his knee, I mean, would they at some point call him in and say, let's take a look at your knee and see what you got?
It's possible. You know, I haven't checked on that real recently. I know that was something, you know, that was kind of, you know, in the back of their minds in the past. You know, they feel like they're okay at the position, and they feel like Marcus Pollard will give them an upgrade in the blocking game too, even though he's been known as mostly a receiving tight end. So I'm not sure, you know, if they're going to go in that direction, or even if they did, if Hannah would be in a position position to play a lot, given the nature of that knee injury.
In the short time we have left, Mike, I look at the defense, and I was just in camp watching Jim Mora and how he was working with that defensive backfield. And I got to tell you, if they hang a big play on the Seahawks this year, it isn't going to be because nobody had direction in that defensive backfield, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's really no excuses for that group to not be very good because, look, the starting corners are first-round picks, Marcus Trufant, Kelly Jennings. They just used a second-round pick on a guy to be the third corner in Josh Wilson out of Maryland. They've got, Jordan Davino, who's played. I mean, Kelly Herndon may not even make the team now because they've beefed up that position so much. And then they brought in, spent a lot of money on Deion Grant. They brought in Brian Russell. They've still got, Mike Green back. Michael Bulwer maybe fits in there somewhere. And then you had Jim Mora to coach the position. I'm just not sure what more you could do in an off season to try to shore up that last line of defense, which really was probably the biggest problem this team had on defense last year. And it's the biggest recurring problem, possibly, arguably, that they've had for the last 5 years. And so I think maybe they're a game better. Maybe they're two games better if they don't give up the big plays that have hurt them in the recent season.
That's home field advantage right there. And Mike, thanks so much for jumping on with us. I'm sure we'll check in with you soon. And tell Mrs. to be looking in the mail.
Yeah, I heard you're going to take care of a little gift certificate. That goes a long way in the South.
She's going to be well taken care of. You tell her that Uncle Vinny is coming through. He appreciates borrowing her husband for a half hour.
That is good. Hey, thanks, Vinny.
All right, thanks. Mike Sandoval, we'll be back.